Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 of this third chapter. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So far we read from this letter of Paul to the Colossians, God's message as well to each one of us, saved and lost. The saved that we might be revived, the lost that might be made to seek God, to find righteousness through Christ. Let's pray that that will take place, that the Spirit who ordered Paul to write this will be given in a mighty way, as Christ described it just before his death, recorded in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and then the 17th chapter, his prayer that we might be one, as he and the Father are one. That can only take place when we have enough of the Spirit to mortify the body and to put on the new man in Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We give thanks for these words that were first written to this church at Colossae, but recorded here for us and are part of thy holy word, which thou hast said, Lord Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will never pass away. And here we have thy word as it comes through thy witness, Paul. And we pray that we might know that he is truly a witness of thee and giving glory to thee, as he could write to them that thou, Lord Jesus, would have the preeminence, and as the only Savior, as the one through whom there is forgiveness of sins. And as we see these things written sometimes again and again and again, repeated, that we might know them both in conviction and we might know them in comfort. And we pray that that will take place today through thy word, wherever it is heard, that it may not be in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit, that it may revive the church, that it may awaken and save many in the world as they hear this word. And also we pray that soon this word might be heard by those who are not yet hearing it today, that soon all the ends of the earth will hear and fear and turn unto thee. We know not how. We know there are many things spoken of in thy word concerning the last days, the falling away, the terrible things that will happen, but also that all the ends of the earth will hear and fear, and we do not believe that that has yet taken place. As we think also of thy promise concerning the house of Judah and the house of Israel, that thou wilt write thy law upon their heart, and that that has not taken place from the least to the greatest, and we pray that it will. We know also that judgment could come upon all of us at this time for all of our sins in every nation, and the awfulness of it, and that that might even precede a gathering in near the very end, that host that no man can number that will come out of great tribulation, as John could describe it, and as thou didst show it to him, of things that thou hast said, Lord Jesus, must shortly come to pass. Give us understanding of that, and we pray for that we might be given understanding of it together, that all of the church might have the truth to believe, to honor thee, and then all of the truth to make known to others, to those who have not yet heard the word, and that is written to the Ephesians, that thou dost give pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints and for bringing all together to one in thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray that that may have its beginning today, or it may even have this beginning that we have not yet noticed it. We pray for it in the church. We pray for it in the home. We pray that both the church and the home might be made one in such a way that they will again be a salt and light in every nation, that nations will no longer be divided, and especially those that have terrible civil strife, the awful killing that is going on, the awful, awful suffering and fear and sorrow and all of what is there in these awful wars, wars amongst those who name thy name, those who would call thee by another name and speak as if they have thy truth. But, Father, as we have read here, that lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. And we pray that everyone may see that we must put off the old man and have a new beginning in thee, Lord Jesus. We give thanks for that which can be had by faith. We also give thanks for what we have in nature. We give thanks for the freedom that we have in our nation. We pray for those who do not have this blessing and are suffering because of it. We give thanks for the rain and the sunshine. We give thanks for the crops that are given to us so bountifully in this nation when others have not received them. And we pray, Father, for them, that they also may have that which is needed for the body, but above all that each and every one might be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, those in sickness, those in sorrow, those in older age, lonesomeness, and especially we pray that broken homes might be healed through Christ. Amen. As we have here a continuation of this letter, beginning with Paul introducing himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is the spokesman of the Lord Jesus. He is one that has been called, and as Paul could say to Agrippa, King Agrippa, that he was his witness. He was a witness to King Agrippa. He was a witness to others, and calling them to repentance toward God, calling them to faith toward and in Christ. He has done that here. He has stated that these have believed and the blessedness of it. He describes the blessedness in verse 5 of chapter 2. He said, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He sees that. He doesn't then just, as it were, give them an A+ and walk away. Now in this third chapter, he says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And not only that, but he says, as we began to read in this 8th verse of the third chapter, but now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Just a little bit before that, he was still telling them in the 5th verse, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We ended the message last week with those warnings, with that exhortation from Paul to them and to us as well. So on the one hand, he is saying, I behold your steadfastness, I rejoice in it, thankful for it. On the other hand, he is saying, mortify therefore your members. You still must crucify the flesh. You must put it down. And as he said, put off the old man. He says, you have done that in a way, but he still tells them to do it more, much like himself. When he wrote to another church, the Philippians, he said, I have not yet attained to that for which I have been apprehended. Describing it as if Christ reached down to pick him up, to lift him up out of the darkness into light, but it was not yet fully performed, not yet fully done. And Paul seemed to know it. And because of it, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Every believer will know the blessing of it, and every believer will want to know more of it. The more we know of Christ, the more we know that we must mortify our members. I think it's safe to say that the more we know of Christ, the more we know that our flesh rises up against it. We know the difference between our flesh and the Spirit of Christ. That of which Paul said to the church at Galatia, the flesh driveth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do these things that you would. If we are in a lukewarm state, like the Laodiceans were, proud state at the same time, then we don't know that to be true. We think all is well. We don't really see Christ. He has to stay on the outside, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and we don't see ourselves, because Christ is the light, and we don't see the light. Christ said to Nicodemus, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's possibly why he was locked out, and yet in their pride they were so ignorant, saying, we are rich in need of nothing. This church here doesn't seem to be afflicted with that pride, but at the same time he is still continuing to exhort them. He is saying to them, put on therefore going ahead a moment for to the 12th verse. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It's saying like to someone, get dressed, get ready. Get ready to go where you're going or work in what you have to accomplish. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God. We have said in past messages, there are many things we must believe, many things we must have, much truth in Scripture. Sadly, much of the truth divides the church. One believes one part of Scripture, another part, and they divide on it. But we should all have all of the truth. Only then can we truly be free. Free from the lie. Free from every hindrance of the flesh. Christ said that to those who were described as believing on him. First, it was described when they heard these words, they believed. Then Christ said to them, that believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. They were in their pride instead of humbleness. They had heard some words that they believed, but it had not yet humbled them. Oh, how sad and how many I fear there are in the church that have enough knowledge of the Word of God to become proud, but not enough to become humble. It's very easy to think, I know the Word, I believe the Word. Those people were described as, when they heard these words, they believed. But they were so proud. And when Christ admonished them further, the end of the chapter, John chapter 8, they took up stones to stone him. They called him names. They said, we have one Father, even God. But before anyone becomes truly a child of God by faith, we will know our bondage. We will know we must be set free. We're all children of God in nature. We've all been created by him. We all live and move and have our being in him naturally, but not spiritually. And these people had the spiritual birth, and that's how Paul spoke to them. He said, but now you put off these. You put off what is natural. And every one of us are natural that way. And every one of us, as it were, has our grave clothes. We have been told the old man must die. These people here are described earlier. Verse 11 of chapter 2, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, when you're also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. They were buried, considered the flesh and their old ways dead. But as I said, we want to carry that old clothes with us. We don't want to be stripped of everything that is of the flesh. Here he said, you've put off the old. Put on the new man. Put off all these. This is what we are, actually. What we're made of. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Paul said it of himself and of Titus very plainly. When he wrote to Titus, he said, we also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That is there. And it wants to continue. It wants to come back. And again, as I said a moment ago, Many times there's enough knowledge to make one proud, and they think they're so right that they may call it a righteous anger. Only God knows how many people those under the guise of the church have killed. Yes, the guise of the church. One group against another. I won't name the names, but it's been there. It was there before the Reformation. It was there at the time of Christ. He said, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? They killed the Lord Jesus. They soon killed those who believed on him. Stephen was stoned. Paul wanted to kill others and bind them. Many were killed. Herod killed James, wanted to kill Peter. All of this was religious people. Religious people in Jerusalem doing this. Sometimes it was the Roman leaders, but even would Christ, Pilate, want to set Christ free, but the religious leaders said, we want him crucified. Crucify him. Away with him. Anger, wrong anger in a mixture of anger and pride. Sometimes we see that anger later with Paul when he was converted and he became one. They sometimes threw dust in the air. We think of the time and we are told here not to blaspheme, but we can see what they did when Paul went to Corinth. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook off his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own heads. They blaspheme. He was speaking in the synagogue, telling them about Christ, and that's what they did. They blasphemed. Anger. This is to be put off. Paul, we may believe himself, put it off right from the beginning when he said, not only, who art thou, Lord, but what wilt thou have me to do? He was a servant, a child of God, but a servant. And that's what we all have to be. And this is God's command to us as children of God and servants. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Your old man is described like this. Mine is. I've seen people very angry in the church. I've seen ministers very angry without a cause. I've been accused of being angry. There is a righteous anger, but there's certainly also a fleshly anger of the old man. And that's what Paul is giving here. He says, 7th verse, you walked in those sometimes, you lived in them, that was your life. Now, get rid of this old life, this old way. Put it off. And he describes it vividly. Describes it here as, first one, anger. What is the greatest of all graces? Love. The opposite of hatred and anger. Think of all the anger that's in the world today. Not just in nations, not just in groups, but in homes. We'll get further into this chapter. We'll read, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Many would rather be angry than do that. Many. Probably almost half of our homes broken. Not always anger, sometimes less than others, but sometimes terrible anger. Awful anger and self-righteousness and pride. This is to be put off. Not to be married and put it on and keep it on and take it to court. Sometimes the church being one with it, I've seen it too often, Terrible. 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 If the church can't be right in regard to marriage, then I think we have to ask with the psalmist, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the church says it's all right, if the church encourages it, allows the anger to go on, sometimes shows the anger. Terrible. Beyond comprehension. But it's there. God really uses different words to probably show much the same thing. Anger and wrath. Wrath is just letting our anger come out and showing it, acting it, saying it, doing it. Sometimes with the mouth, sometimes with a look, sometimes with violence, malice. Yes, there can be sadly as much malice in the church as in the world. I just read of yesterday one that was a heretic. They were going to burn him at the stake. He asked to be beheaded instead of burnt. The church refused. We hear of beheadings and we say, how terrible these people are. They behead people. The church wouldn't even be that merciful. It burnt them at the stake. Many were burnt by the church, so-called. One man, when he was asking for freedom and going to the government, he says, some of you have said that persecutors are the false church. He took their own words because those that he was pleading with thought about others as persecuting. But later, some of their own number were persecutors as well. And many times showed not only their anger, but their blasphemy, their malice. They lied one to another. And time won't permit, but you could go on and show the lies that have been by those so-called in the church. Our early history and our country is a shame in many ways, not only against the Indians, but against one another. Then later, the slavery, and now abortion, divorce. We're a nation of sinners. We are a nation that has to put off a lot of things, and especially our pride. We have much to be thankful for, but nothing to be proud of. The faith that God gave to our first forefathers was soon left. Even the forefathers saw that their children were not entering into the kingdom of God as God had taught them. It only took a generation, and they were soon going down, down, till God revived, as Jonathan Edwards said. God began extraordinary to work amongst us, and we need that today. We need it, so we'll listen to a letter like this and put off anger, wrath, malice. Lie not one to another. Put on the new man, which is Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.